Dr. William Luther Pierce on Freedom for Germany in 1993.
A month ago, an American engineer from Massachusetts, Fred Leuchter, was arrested by the German secret police in Cologne, Germany. He had been invited by a German television station to talk about his 1988 investigation of the gas chambers in the former concentration camp at Auschwitz, Poland. Mr. Leuchter, whose profession is designing gas chambers and other lethal devices for prisons, had been hired as an expert witness in a legal case in which it was alleged that the defendant had lied in saying that 4 million Jewish prisoners weren't killed in gas chambers at Auschwitz during the Second World War. Mr. Leuchter had dutifully traveled to Auschwitz with several assistants and made his investigation. He had carefully examined the alleged gas chambers there, the doors and windows, the floors and walls and ceilings, the shower fixtures which, so the official story went, had been used to introduce poison gas into shower rooms full of unsuspecting Jews. He had even collected scrapings from the walls and had them chemically analyzed. Mr. Leuchter had concluded, back in 1988, that Jews may or may not have been killed at Auschwitz during the war, but that 4 million of them certainly had not been gassed to death in the buildings at Auschwitz, identified in the tourist brochures as gas chambers. His investigation had convinced him that these buildings were not used for that purpose, and indeed couldn't have been used for that purpose. He had testified about his findings during the 1988 trial and had spoken about them in public several times since then, because what happened during the Second World War remains a matter of considerable interest to many people around the world today. But why, we might ask, should the German secret police arrest an American tourist in order to keep him from talking about such matters on a television program? Certainly, it isn't illegal in Germany to talk about the Second World War, or about gas chambers, or about the so-called Holocaust. These are frequent topics in the German media and in German classrooms. There's nothing illegal about them. That is, there's nothing illegal in talking or writing about these things if one does it in a politically correct way. But it is illegal in Germany to be politically incorrect. The politically correct position on the Holocaust is that 6 million Jews, for absolutely no fault of their own, were killed in gas chambers by the Germans during the Second World War, 4 million of them at Auschwitz alone. As long as you stick to that line, you can talk about the Holocaust all you want in Germany. But if you say, hey, maybe some Jews were killed at Auschwitz during the war, but I really don't think that 4 million were killed in the gas chambers there, because I've been to Auschwitz and examined the facilities. If you say that in public, the German secret police will grab you and throw you in prison, and you'll be facing a 5-year prison term. There are a lot of other things one can't talk about in Germany, too. One can be thrown in prison for questioning other aspects of the official version of the Second World War, for talking about the mass murders of German soldiers in Allied prisoner of war camps after the war, for example. It's illegal to suggest that Germany was not solely responsible for the war. It's illegal to say that the National Socialist Government of Germany was justified in any of its policies or actions before or during the war. One also can get into trouble with the police for campaigning for the return of territory taken away from Germany by the victors after the war, or for complaining about the continued admission of non-white immigrants into Germany today. The result of these bans on politically incorrect speech is that hundreds of Germans are in prison today in Germany, along with Mr. Leuchter, and dozens of patriotic groups and political parties have been outlawed, all for daring to talk about politically inconvenient facts or to express politically incorrect ideas. One of the most bizarre aspects of the German government's outlawing of dissent is that it's a completely one-sided thing. In Germany today, you are free to tell the most outrageous lies you want, so long as your lies are anti-German. You can state in public that the Germans killed more than 6 million Jews during the war. You can say they killed 100 million Jews, and that in retribution, the German people should pay reparations to the government of Israel forever. You can say that, and the secret police won't bother you. But if you say, hey, it was fewer than 6 million, you're in trouble. And you can insult the Germans. You can falsify their history. You can spit on the graves of their patriots. You can praise their enemies, and the German government will smile at you. This strange behavior by the German government has puzzled some people, and they've theorized that the Germans behave that way because of a feeling of guilt for their wickedness during the war 50 years ago. That, of course, is a lot of baloney. The Japanese don't feel guilty for their role in the war. The Russians don't feel guilty because of the crimes of their former communist government. The reason the German government behaves the way it does has a simple historical explanation. At the end of the Second World War, the victorious democratic and communist occupying powers installed a German government of their own choosing. First, they removed every legitimate official from office unless he could prove that he had secretly worked against his own country during the war. And they did the same thing with the media and the schools. The Allies made treason the criterion for holding public office or teaching or publishing a newspaper in Germany. The only people who could run for public office were Jews who had miraculously survived the alleged extermination camps, or communists, or shirkers who had fled the country during the war to avoid serving in the German army, much in the way Bill Clinton did over here during the Vietnam War. So one had a post-war government in Germany made up of anti-patriots, of people who had a vested interest in maintaining the official lies that were the party line of the Allied occupying powers. The present government in Germany is the direct descendant of this anti-patriotic puppet government installed by the conquerors after the war. The last legitimate German government is the one elected in 1933, before the war. So it's easy to understand why the present government in Germany doesn't want the German people thinking about that fact. And that's why the government has made it illegal to criticize the people to whom the present politicians owe their jobs, or to question the whole rationale of the war and its aftermath. Now, it's troubling to me and many others that the United States government encourages the suppression of human rights in Germany in order to keep the German puppet regime in power there. If an American citizen had been arrested anywhere else in the world merely for agreeing to appear on a television program, the U.S. State Department would protest vigorously, and the matter would be headline material in all our major newspapers. But in the case of Fred Leuchter, there is no protest and there are no headlines. This is also troubling Because it's hypocritical. The Clinton government makes a great pretense of supporting human rights around the world. This pretense sometimes serves as the pretext for sending American troops to force some third world country into line with the New World Order. But it is still only a pretense. The arrest of Fred Leuchter and the lack of response by the Clinton administration to his arrest are most troubling, however, because they are indicative of a trend. Dissent is outlawed in Germany today, and it will be outlawed in America sooner or later, because the same interests in America that approve of stifling German patriots and criminalizing political incorrectness in Germany are pushing for similar governmental policies in America. There are many people in the Clinton administration who would love to be able to arrest anyone who speaks out against their policy of gun confiscation, for example. They would love to lock up everyone who argues against the continued destruction of U.S. industry through so-called free trade agreements with the Third World. There are people in the government who really believe that it ought to be against the law for anyone to speak out against the flood of non-white immigrants into America, that it ought to be against the law to call for deporting all non-whites to Africa or Asia. And there are, of course, the people behind the Clinton administration, the people to whom the Clintonistas look for guidance, people who know that they must make it illegal for anyone to pull the curtain aside and reveal their presence to the public. They understand that they cannot survive if a majority of the American population becomes fully aware of their control of the news and entertainment media and their manipulation of public opinion and of the political process through that control. They know that they must limit the spread of information about themselves, about their power, about the crimes they have committed against humanity. And they will try to stifle patriots in America. They will try to silence every dissident voice, just the way they have in Germany, by making it illegal to speak the truth, illegal to challenge their policies. One might think that in mass democracies, such as we have in Germany and in the United States, the string pullers could tolerate a little dissent. After all, probably 70 or 80% of the general public really believe the lies they're told by their TV commentators and by their politicians. Television is a very persuasive medium. In the United States, we just saw a very substantial portion of the public, perhaps even a majority, let themselves be convinced by television propaganda that the passage of the North American Free Trade Agreement would be a good thing for them. They're in the process now of letting themselves be convinced that they'll actually be safer when it becomes illegal for law-abiding citizens to have firearms for self-defense. So why should the people who control the mass media be afraid of letting a few individuals contradict them with the facts? The answer to that is that the truth can be a very dangerous weapon when used skillfully and aggressively. People who deal principally in lies are afraid of having this weapon used against them. In Germany, for example, where it is illegal to question the official Holocaust story of 6 million gassed Jews, the dissenters were coming up with too many embarrassing facts, too much evidence that the government and the media had been lying to the public about what had happened during the war. The dissent was spreading. Competent people, including historians and other scholars, were questioning the numbers. Eyewitnesses who had been silent for decades were speaking out about what had really happened during and immediately after the war, about who had done what to whom, about who were the real war criminals. And so the German government, whose whole existence really is based on the lie of German guilt, simply made it illegal to question that lie. That's why an American citizen, Fred Leuchter, is sitting in a German prison now. And the fact that the Clinton administration has not protested his imprisonment is a pretty good indication that the Clinton administration doesn't really disapprove of locking people up for political incorrectness. Criminalizing speech and thought, in fact, has become quite fashionable in the crowd of New World Order elitists. They believe that they know what's best for everyone, and any dissent just confuses people. Better to outlaw it. Throw the troublemakers into prison if they won't adjust their thinking to the New World Order. One of the consequences of this New World Order intolerance is the plague of so-called hate legislation, which has been imposed on the American people in the last decade. It used to be that if you punched someone in the nose for any reason except self-defense, you could simply be charged with assault and battery. Nowadays, it's not so simple at all. What you'll be charged with depends on the color of your skin, the color of the nose you punched, and most important, what you think about people of the color you punched. Anything you have ever said or written in the past which may indicate that you punched for a politically incorrect reason will be held against you. And it used to be that on university campuses in America, any topic at all was open for debate, and that students and faculty members were free to express any opinion whatsoever on the topic. Freedom of that sort has become very unfashionable today, however. Faculty members are fired and students are expelled for expressing politically incorrect opinions. The atmosphere of intellectual tolerance on American university campuses today is closer to that which prevailed in Spain during the Inquisition than that which was the norm in America before about 1960. And it will become much worse before it becomes better. The same clever liars who have managed to persuade a substantial portion of the American people and a majority of the politicians that the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution doesn't really mean what it says are also working on the First Amendment. Freedom of speech, they want everyone to believe, really means freedom to say fashionable things, freedom to express politically correct ideas, freedom to discuss subjects which aren't on the forbidden list, freedom to state opinions which don't offend the government or the members of any officially protected minority. That's the way it is in Germany. That's the way they want it in America. That's the direction in which the United States government is moving. And it's moving faster under the Clintonistas than it ever has before. What can we do about it? How can we restore our right to armed self-defense? How can we preserve our right to speak our minds? What can we do to restore a spirit of free inquiry to our universities? There is no single easy answer to these questions. Part of the answer is vigilance. If we want to preserve our liberty, we must always be vigilant. Part of the answer is the way we live and the way we raise our children. We have become a soft, fearful, feminized people, too willing to surrender our manhood rather than fight, too ready to trade freedom for an imagined security, too eager to look to the politicians and the government for support and protection instead of relying on ourselves. Part of the answer is a broader more enlightened view of the world. In the past, we let ourselves be divided against each other by clever enemies. We let ourselves be persuaded that it was all right to take freedom away from Germans so long as Americans kept theirs. We need to understand that unless the healthy, freedom-loving elements in America and Europe stand together against our common enemies and against the sick elements among ourselves who have come under the influence of those enemies, eventually none of us will be free. Finally, if we want to preserve a right, we must exercise that right. This is especially true of the right of free speech. When the people who control the media begin trying to persuade us that we don't really need the right to say unfashionable things, just like they persuaded so many people that no one really needs a semi-automatic rifle, then we must speak up loudly and clearly instead of remaining silent until our right to speak is legislated away, as already has happened in Germany. All of you listening now, join me in speaking out against those who want to steal our freedom. Speak out against the politicians in Germany who are keeping Fred Leuchter in prison. Speak out against the politicians in America who have refused to protest his arrest. Speak out against the enemies of freedom everywhere, against the Helmut Kohls and the Bill Clintons, against the Feinsteins and the Metzenbaums and the Schumers and the Moynihans in the U.S. Congress. Use every means at your disposal to make yourself heard. Use call-in radio and television programs. Use letters to the editor of every newspaper and magazine you read. Use bulletin boards. Use graffiti. And use courage and perseverance. Tell everyone, freedom for Fred Leuchter. Freedom for Americans and for Germans. Down with the New World Order and the enemies of freedom everywhere.